Chapter 3, The Secret of Mount Sinai.
So, you want to hear a story, is that it? Zadie grumbled.
He had been about to open his favorite sefer, a book about Gemilas Chesed. Zadie's favorite hobby was studying Torah, and his favorite subject was Gemilas Chesed, all about trying to help others. But now the children had him cornered, and he put the sefer aside.
What do you want to hear about?
Shpeter!
The children cried in unison.
What happened to Shpeter after his adventure at the Red Sea? Did he learn his lesson and stop being late?
Zadie sighed heavily.
Yes, he did. But only for a week or two. It wasn't long before he went right back to his old habits. And was he ever sorry?
Poor Shpeter. He tried so hard for a few days. Waking up on time, davening on time, attending cheder at the right time, helping his mother and father. But his natural curiosity just could not be stopped. 6 weeks after the Jews left Egypt, they reached the Sinai Desert. What a hot, barren place it was. It was stony, desolate, and lonely. At night, Shpeter heard the howls of jackals and wildcats. And when he thought he felt something moving in his bed, he would jump up almost to the roof of his tent. He was afraid it was a poisonous scorpion or a snake slithering under his blanket. They were on a broad plain, and looming over them like a great wall was Mount Sinai. Even though Mount Sinai was just a small mountain, it peered down at them like some giant soldier. One morning, the whole camp suddenly came alive with excited conversation.
What's happening?
Shpeter asked Masha and Kasha. They didn't know either. But then, everyone started staring at the mountain, pointing,
Look, someone's climbing up so fast.
Sure enough, it was Moshe, dressed in his white robes, climbing swiftly up the side of the mountain, leaping from stone to stone. He jumped over steep gullies and crawled along the jagged rocks.
He's gonna fall if he's not careful,
they shouted. But Moshe continued to climb like a young boy, although he was more than 80 years old. Pretty soon, he was so far up that he looked like a tiny white dot.
Look at the top of the mountain,
someone in the crowd shouted.
Wow, what is it?
On top of the mountain, there was a golden light and a fire that leaped and sparkled, crowned with thick black smoke. Everyone watched with his mouth open as Moshe disappeared into the thick cloud. People forgot about the breakfast, their work, their families. They just stood there, waiting. Hours passed. What was happening? Then, the white dot reappeared. Moshe leaped down the mountain, even faster and more excited than he had gone up. Midway, Aaron, Yehoshua, and the elders waited for him. Moshe spoke to them for a moment. Their faces seemed to shine with happiness. And soon, the whole group, led by Moshe, was rushing down the mountain. As soon as they descended, the word spread through the camp. Hashem is going to give us the Torah. The very Torah he promised to our father Avram. We are going to receive it in 6 days.
Oh, what excitement! Oh, what noise! What a singing, laughing, sparkling hour that was!
People formed circles to dance and praise Hashem. And even Shpeter's father, who was always so serious, gave his children a merry ride on his broad shoulders. Später couldn't wait. The days couldn't pass quickly enough. There was so much to do. Wash, clean, get ready, set the house in order, sweep the sandy streets clean of even one stray bug or stone until they sparkled like fine glass. It was the day before the giving of the token. There was tension everywhere. Später's parents called the children together in the afternoon, and their father announced, "Tomorrow morning, Hashem is going to present us with the token. It will happen the moment the sun rises. Does everyone understand that? He will not wait for anyone." He looked sternly at the children. "Make sure that you go to sleep early tonight, because tomorrow you have to be up at the crack of dawn." The children all nodded in agreement. They marched off to their tents to prepare for bed, and Später marched right along with them. He climbed in next to Itzik, and they all settled down. Time passed. The sun went down. The air grew cool, and the tent was pitch black. All that could be heard was the twitching of Itzik, the scratching of Schmitzik, the grumphs and gurgles of Kasha and Masha. Only two eyes stayed fixed open, thinking, looking, listening, not missing a thing. Später's. He just could not sleep. He tried. He really did. He counted sheep, counted clouds, counted to 1,000 backwards. But he just couldn't fall asleep. Then he heard voices. They seemed very far away, but sounded very sweet. It was the deeply resonant voices of men, singing low and slow. Später recognized a few words. They were reciting the words of Moshe. V'hi sem li segula mikol ho'ami. For you shall be a treasure to me among the nations. The words that Hashem had promised Moshe were now the sweetest, most beautiful song that anyone had ever heard. Später couldn't stay in bed. He knew it was against the rules, but he could not resist. Such beautiful melodies. Even the songs of angels couldn't compare. He crawled over his brothers and sisters, snuck out the narrow tent entrance, and into the cold night air. Above, 10,000 stars winked and twinkled in a cloudless sky. The white half moon was sinking towards the west. As he walked towards the music, it grew louder. Soon he saw the men. They sat in a circle, their faces shining in the light of the pillar of fire. Their heads were lifted to the heavens, and they sang of their love of Hashem, and how their hearts longed for the moment when they would receive his precious Torah. How lucky he was to be a Jew. How happy he was to be a Jew. How happy he was to be a part of the family of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How he wanted to grow up and be part of the Torah people. He couldn't wait the few hours until Hashem would give the Torah. Später could see his father in the center of the group of men. He knew that if he saw him, he would chase him right back to bed. But he wanted so much to sing to Hashem. So Später hid behind a bush, lifted up his head, and sang. He sang, he laughed, he cried. He was so happy, and nervous, and excited. Minute followed minute, hour followed hour, the brilliant stars moved across the sky, and the sun headed toward the horizon, toward the break of day. And Später, hidden behind the bush, fell fast asleep. Did Später know when the sun came up? Could he hear in his sleep the thunder and lightning, booming and crackling from the top of Mount Sinai, awakening the Jewish camp? No. He was so deep in exhausted sleep, he missed the whole giving of the Torah. Later they would tell him how Hashem's voice was heard from one end of the earth to the other, how the angels crowned each Jew with two crowns, how Hashem's words were so exciting that their souls popped right out of their bodies until they were revived with the beautiful spices of Gan Eden. All the excitement, the noise, the lightning and thunder, the songs of the angels, the very voice of Hashem. Shpeter missed it all. He slept and slept. At noon, when the bright sun was overhead, Shpeter awoke with a start. He looked around him. He was at the far edge of the Israelite camp. Then, suddenly he remembered what day it was, jumped up, and began walking quickly to his tent. When was Hashem going to give the Torah? When he came to the section of his tribe, Judah, he saw his cousin Peretz.
"Peretz, Peretz," he shouted. "What is everyone waiting for? When are we going to receive the Torah?"
Peretz looked at him impatiently.
"Oh, Shpeter, are you up to one of your silly games? I don't have time for you now."
And before Shpeter could stop him, he was off. What silly games? A scary feeling began to shiver up his spine. Shpeter raced to his tent and found Itzik and Shmitzik, his two brothers, who were usually fighting, were now actually acting polite to each other.
"Itzik, Shmitzik, when is Hashem going to give us the Torah?"
"You must be kidding," yelled Itzik.
"You mean you weren't there?"
chimed Shmitzik.
"There? Where?"
cried Shpeter, almost in tears.
"Hashem gave us the Torah this morning,"
they shouted together happily. Then, when they saw how sad he looked, they grew serious.
"You mean you missed it, Shpeter? We thought you had left before us."
Shpeter tried to answer, but the words got caught in his throat, and his eyes welled up with tears. Then, like a dam bursting, he sat down and cried and cried. He had missed Hashem. When he had cried himself dry, he left the tent and walked around the camp in a daze. He didn't even know where he was going. When the children went out to dance in celebration of receiving the Torah, Shpeter didn't join in. Not even when candy was given out to each child. He sat at the supper table, but hardly spoke a word, and just poked at his food. He usually asked for doubles. And when Itzik, Shmitzik, Masha, Kasha, and Laser talked over the wonderful events of the day, and the thrill of hearing the actual voice of Hashem, Shpeter let out such a sigh that it broke everyone's heart. His mother and father watched him out of the corners of their eyes. At first, they thought he was ill from the excitement. But when Itzik told them what had happened, that Shpeter had missed Matan Torah, they finally realized how sad and miserable Shpeter really was. But what could anyone do? It was an event that happened once in all history. It would never happen again. If he missed it, he missed it. And that was that. That night, everyone lay fast asleep, tired and happy from the long, exciting day. Only Shpeter stayed awake, tossing and turning. And sometimes, when he really thought about it, he quietly wept from the bottom of his heart.
I'm sorry, Hashem,
he whispered.
Oh, how sorry I am.
At first, the sound was so faint that Shpeter hardly noticed it. But then he thought he heard footsteps heading towards his tent. It was the middle of the night. Who could be out walking? Closer and closer the footsteps came. There was a rustling of curtains, and the tent entrance was open. The hairs on the back of Shpeter's neck stood on end. There was a tall, thin figure standing in the darkness at the tent entrance. Was it his father? No, he was too tall. Shpeter trembled, too afraid to raise his voice. Who is it? He wondered.
Shpeter. Shpeter.
The voice called. It was a very deep voice, but pleasant and calm. For some reason, Shpeter relaxed. He was no longer afraid, although he had no idea who the person was.
Shpeter. Shpeter.
The man called quietly. Are you awake? Come out. The man seemed to be able to see through the darkness, for he was staring right at him. Shpeter quickly got up out of his bed. Curious and excited, he ran to the entrance. The man held the curtain open for Shpeter to come out. Follow me, he commanded. Shpeter followed. He was afraid to ask the man his name. And when he tried to glimpse his face, it was covered with a talus that blocked out the light. As he walked, the man recited words of Torah to himself in a pleasant melody. They were walking to the section of the tribe of Levi. In the daytime, this was a center of activity, for all the people came here to study with Moshe, Aaron, and the elders. But now, all was quiet and peaceful. Finally, they reached a large, simple tent.
Enter, the man commanded. Don't be afraid.
In the tent, there were two candles burning. In a far corner, a man sat shuckling, swaying back and forth as he studied. As soon as they entered, the man stood up. But at a sign from the tall stranger, he sat back down and continued to study. The tall man pointed to a pillow near the candles.
Sit,
he said. Shpeter sat down, and the man sat down next to him. Suddenly, the man lifted the talus off his head, and the room was bathed in light.
Oh no, it couldn't be.
Shpeter broke into a sweat, and his knees shook in fear. It was Moshe himself, Moshe Rabbeinu. He was sitting here with Moshe Rabbeinu, who spoke with Hashem face to face.
Shpeter, tell me what happened today.
Tears streaming down his face, Shpeter told him the whole story. He didn't try to hide anything or make it seem better than it was. He had slept through Matan Torah, plain and simple. Moshe nodded as he told him the story. He seemed saddened, but the look of beautiful calm never left his face. They said he was 80 years old, but he seemed to have the face of a young man, with clear, quiet eyes. Finally, Moshe stirred himself. He looked straight at Shpeter.
Shpeter, I see that you are really a fine boy who loves Hashem. You have a good heart, and you desire to learn the Holy Torah. But you must learn one lesson.
Shpeter leaned forward to be sure he caught every word.
Shpeter, you must learn to control yourself. You cannot always do whatever you feel like doing in life. There is a time for everything. It is good to feel, but you must know what to do with your feelings. There is a time to act, and a time to stop and think.
Indeed. You did miss a great thing. What can compare to hearing the voice of Hashem? But it is still not too late. You can still hear Hashem talk. Shpeter's eyes lit up.
Do you really mean it? I can hear Hashem? I can really hear his voice?
Yes, answered Moshe. Then he turned, opened a cabinet, and lifted out a small thick scroll. He unrolled it slightly, and the room seemed to grow even brighter from the glow of the letters. Do you know what this is?
A Torah?
Not just a Torah. The Torah. The very words that Hashem gave to me and to all the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. Do you think these are just words? This is the voice of Hashem speaking through these words. Do you think that Hashem speaks only once? Whenever a Jew hears his Rebbe teaching Torah, that's the voice of Hashem. And whenever a Jew recites the words of the Torah, or learns about its laws, that is Hashem speaking. Shpeter, whenever you study Hashem's Torah, you will always hear him speaking. Then there was silence. The man in the corner continued to sway as he studied, absorbing every word. Shpeter stared at the ground, concentrating on every word that Moshe said.
So, he had not missed Hashem after all. Hashem would speak to him all his life, as long as he studied the words of Torah. Shyly, Shpeter looked at Moshe. He was quietly reciting Divrei Torah again. But he smiled at Shpeter as he whispered the holy words.
Master Moshe, Shpeter asked, one question. How did you know that I missed this morning?
Moshe rose and led Shpeter out of the tent. The whole camp was talking about the boy who stayed up all night because he was so anxious to receive the Torah and then fell asleep during the real thing. We all felt so sad for you. Despite Shpeter's protests, Moshe insisted on walking Shpeter back to his tent.
Oh, I wish my friends were awake to see me walking with the great teacher, Moshe,
Shpeter thought to himself. But all was still and empty, except for the chuppah of bright stars that smiled down from above. Finally, they reached the tent. Moshe took Shpeter's hand in his. Don't forget, Shpeter. As long as you study Torah, you will hear the voice of Hashem. So study well, and all Israel will be proud of you. Completely exhausted, Shpeter fell fast asleep. After what seemed like only a minute, someone was shaking him.
Shpeter, Shpeter, it's time to get up! Say Modani!
It was Masha and Kasha, crawling all over him. Happily, Shpeter washed his hands, jumped out of bed, and ran to daven to Hashem. His face shone. He ran and jumped happily. His parents, who had seen his sad behavior the night before, were astonished.
What happened to Shpeter?
They asked each other in amazement.
He must have had a good dream.
Shpeter heard them, but didn't say anything. Dream indeed. It was a dream, all right. But one that only he and Moshe Rabbeinu knew about.